song and praise them.
Grateful we are today, Lord, to be your children. We ask, Lord, that you would just help us this evening by your grace, Lord. Speak to hearts and lives, Father. Lord, you lift our spirits, Lord, up into the realms, Lord, of the supernatural, Lord, where all things are possible, we pray, Father. We just love you with all of our hearts, and we give you this service in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turn to Psalms chapter 23. Hebrews chapter 1, we'll be referring to that as well, but just like to say thank you for your prayers. Amen. Been real down in the valley a little bit, but amen, we're coming out of it. Just asking the Lord for strength tonight. Amen. Psalms chapter 23 and verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me to beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I was going to speak something else tonight, but I spoke this at the Oklahoma Youth Camp, and so things begin to kind of whirl over me this afternoon about this subject. So I'd like to speak to you on choosing faith over fear. Amen. Choosing faith over fear. I believe we do have a choice, many choices in life that we make. Amen. And we have a choice to believe or not believe. We have a choice to trust or not trust. And, you know, this is the choice that David made in the scripture. He said, "I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, but I will fear no evil." Amen. Even though I'm in the valley of this shadow of death and there's all kind of things around me and my enemies all around me, I choose to still trust you. Amen. I choose to not fear the evil that's around us. And, you know, we've been on faith for a little bit, and we know in Hebrews chapter 11 in the Amplified, it says, "Now faith is the assurance or the title deed or the confirmation of things hoped for that are divinely guaranteed. It is the evidence of things not seen. It's the conviction of their reality." In other words, whether you see them or you don't see them, it does not matter. There's still a reality that faith grabs a hold of. And faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical sense. "For by this kind of faith, the men of old gained divine approval." Amen. "By faith, that is that inherent trust or enduring confidence in the power and wisdom and goodness of God, we understand that the worlds, the universes were framed and created. They were formed. They were put in order. They were equipped for the intended purpose by the word of God. So that which is seen was not made out of things which are visible." Now, we could go on, and we maybe will one as we get into all these things, but every hero of faith, amen, they were heroes of faith because they chose faith over fear. They chose to believe no matter what they saw, no matter what they felt, no matter what their circumstances were. Amen. They chose faith. And now we understand that faith will either paralyze your fear or your fear will paralyze your faith. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 11, as we would go down by faith, Abraham, by faith, Sarah, by faith, Enoch, by faith. Amen. It wasn't by fear, it was by faith. Amen. Because in spite of what they saw or in spite of what they felt, they still believed. Amen. And I believe we're that kind of people tonight. I believe if these chapters would continue to be written, there'd be others by faith, this one, and by faith, that one. And amen. By faith, we overcome. Amen. Because faith finds sources that nothing else can see. Faith can find something that your eyes cannot declare tonight. It'll find something that you may not be able to explain it. You may not be able to tell it how it's going to be, but you believe it anyhow, because why? Faith tells you that. Faith is something that's revealed to you. It may not be yet, but it's revealed to you, and you believe it as if it were so already. Amen. Faith is a revelation of the will of God. Brother Branham said, the trouble is the church is scared. Oh, I'm afraid of this. Don't be afraid. You say, well, oh, if I can just, it isn't you, it's him. Amen. It isn't you, it's him. I'm not worthy of healing. Being healed, sure, you're not worthy. I'm not worthy. Nobody is. But he is worthy. It isn't our worthiness, it's his goodness to us. He said in the old covenant, he said if a little old mule was born and was born in a pasture and born with some flopped ears and knocked knees and just a horrible looking mule, cross-eyed and his tail sticking up and, you know, just horrible looking. If he'd look around his mammy and say, you know what? As soon as the master of the house comes out, he's going to knock me in the head. I'm not even worthy of the food I eat. I'm no good. But if his mammy would just instruct him for a minute, she said, now, wait a minute, son, just wait a minute. I'm going to tell you something maybe you don't know. I want to tell you, you don't know who you are. See, you're born under a birthright. And when the master of the house, said, I don't care what you look like, but when he comes out and this new mule is born, the thing he has to do is get a lamb without blemish and take that perfect lamb and his life for your life. He said, then when that little mule would hear that, he could forget what he looks like. He can forget about all the imperfections and all of that. He can just kick his heels up and have a big time. He said, that's the way it is with us. We're imperfect. We're no good. We're born in sin. We were shaped in iniquity. We come in this world speaking lies. We were no good to begin with. But to begin with, God didn't look at you. Hallelujah. Amen. To begin with, God didn't look at you. He looks at the sacrifice. He looks at the Lamb of God. He doesn't see me. He doesn't see you. And why? He sees Christ. Jesus died for me. He said, if you can find some fault with Jesus, then your healing might not be yours. But if you don't find no fault with him, it's perfect. Amen. God called you by his grace, not what you was, but what God is. The scripture said he was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That was God's word. When God speaks, it's as good as finished right now. He said, so how do you go to stamp out the baptism of the Holy Spirit? How are you going to stamp out the gifts? How are you going to stamp all that out of the church? You can't do it. God spoke it. It's going to be. And when God foresaw by his foreknowledge how he redeemed the world out of the sin and corruption, he slayed Christ before the foundation of the world. And he spoke the word 4,000 years before it was ever manifested. And the book of Revelation said when the Antichrist come upon the earth, he will deceive all the earth whose name were written in the Lamb's, except for those whose name were written in the Lamb's book of life. Amen. From when? The last revival? No. From the foundation of the world. God, by foreknowledge, he knew you and he called you in Christ Jesus and he put his near name on the Lamb's book of life before the foundation of the world. So what are you scared about? Are you afraid to take his word for anything tonight? Amen. Don't be afraid. Call the thing right. I am an heir to his. I know I don't deserve it, but I'm an heir anyhow. Why? Because I've been made an heir by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. What is it that heir? If you're an heir, what are you an heir to? I'm an heir to salvation. I'm an heir to the Holy Spirit. I'm an heir to everything that Jesus paid for. Nothing I had to do. I just fell heir to it. Amen. Therefore, I'm healed. Why are you healed? Because I'm an heir to it. not because I deserve it. I'm an heir to it. My disease is gone. Why is your disease gone? Because I'm an heir to it. Amen. My affliction is gone. Why? Because I'm an heir to it. He said, oh, perfect assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I'm an heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of his spirit, and washed of his blood. That is our story. What's your story? That's my story. I wasn't worthy, but he made me worthy. I wasn't a perfect, but he made me perfect. I wasn't his, but he made me his. And he called me and he bought me and he made me an heir to everything that he has. Amen. He said, see, Abraham was just an ordinary man. He wasn't nothing special, but God called him. God put a call in his life. God saw something in him and he called him. And God seen the same thing in every born again man and woman here. Amen. And Abraham wasn't afraid to put his faith to work. Are you afraid? The same faith that he gave Abraham, he gives you freely if you'll use it. If he'll use it, amen. He said, well, I have a gun. It'll shoot. It's a good-looking gun. It hangs up on the wall. Oh, sure, you got a gun. Great. What does it do? It hangs on the wall. He said, that's faith. People say, oh, I'm a Christian. I believe God can. But what do you do about it? Put it to work. Turn it loose. Do something with it. Get out and hunt the devil up. Amen. Get out and hunt the devil up. And when he says you're still hurting, you say, well, you're a liar. Put a bead on him. Get the scope dialed in. Don't be afraid to pull the trigger because it'll go off sure as anything. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, we've had our guns for a long time. You know, the people in the South or the people in the U.S. for that matter is proud of our guns. But what good is a gun if it ain't going to do nothing but lay on the shelf somewhere? And what good is this going to do you if it's just written in a book? But God wants you to put it into action. God wants you to make it something that's lived, not something that just read about, not something just talked about, not just something of 500 years ago or 50 years ago or 2,000 years ago. Or 5,000 years ago. He wants something that lives today, even now in this moment, that you'll put faith into action. And when Satan rises up, you'll call him a liar. When Satan rises up, you say, it ain't so, devil. I am a child of God. I am a daughter of God. I'm an heir to this. Take your hands off of God's property. But people get afraid. Fear tries to come in. This is where the disciples were, and we can read about it in Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. Had to bear with me a little bit. The same day when the evening was come, he said to them, let's pass over to the other side. Amen. There's peace in that right there. We'll just take him at his word. You know, if they would have just said, okay, got in the boat and went, they wouldn't have worried about the waves. Because he said, let's go to the other side. Amen. You know, God does it that way. He does it that way on purpose because he wants you to know, he wants to see what you're going to react when you get in the waves. When you get in the desert, that's what he told the children of Israel. I've used it many times. He said, I'm going to take you out of a land, but I'm going to take you into a land. But he didn't tell them about everything in between. Why? He did it on purpose. One, he wasn't worried about everything in between. He already had it taken care of. But he wanted to see their reaction and how they would react to what he was doing. And God, that's why God allows things to come upon us, sicknesses and situations of life or things that we didn't see coming. There's a lot of things, maybe this morning that hit you didn't see coming, but God saw it coming before it ever got there. Nothing surprises our God. We ought to know that by now. Nothing surprises him. He knows every morning that's going to break. He knows every day that's going to take. He knows what's going to go on in the day, every 24 hours of it. He's not caught by surprise. He's not caught by maybe this, you know, he's not sitting there, maybe this will happen, maybe this won't. He already knows all about it. But he allows us to get up and go through our day not knowing what we're going to face that day, not knowing if we're going to get sick, not knowing if we're going to face turmoil, not knowing if we're going to face tragedies, not knowing anything about these things, but knowing he is there and he's able to help me no matter what I'm going through. Amen. God wants to see what your reaction is going to be. Amen. When you go through something, that's why he allows us to go through the things we go through. Now, we don't always all go through the same things. Now, God knows what each one of us can take. He knows I can take things some of y'all can't take. Some of y'all can take things I can't take. And he promised he wouldn't put more on us than what we can bear. Amen. I'm thankful for that scripture right there. But let us pass over unto the other side. Now, Brother Branham, Brother Tim's went through this before about the revivals and different types. Brother Branham would use those that went off without Jesus and those that went with Jesus in their ship. I personally believe we got Jesus in the ship. I don't believe we went off without him. I believe he's here with us, and this is where we're coming from. And he's laying there asleep, and he's in between revivals, and he's laying there resting. But there arose a great storm of wind, and waves beat the ship. So that it was now full. Now you know that he knew this was going to happen when he said, "Let's go to the other side." Do we believe that? I believe that. I believe he knew. But he's there resting and he's wanting to see what their reaction is going to be. Well, how they're going to react and what they're going to do about it. And here he's asleep and they say, "Wake him up. Master, don't you care that we perish?" And he rose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, "Peace be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? You should have believed what I said." You should have believed that I knew that this is going to take place and I would have the answer for it. Well, the doctor says there ain't no hope. And boy, when that comes, that's when fear steps in. Or, there, you know, it's an incurable disease. I love how Brother Tim said it before. There's no such a thing as an incurable disease. Amen. He said, doctor says, well, there's no hope, or it's paralysis, or it's some leukemia or something like that. Fear begins to set in, but it shouldn't. Did you hear that? The prophet of God said, it shouldn't. Who is this that made the promise? What are we living for? Why are we the church of the living God? Why are we filled with the Holy Ghost? Why? To remember in times of trouble, he's still here. Amen. Amen. He stabilizes things. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's with us just the same. He might be resting for a few moments between meetings, but he's still here just the same. He never left us. He promised he would not. He said, but when trouble sets in and faith of him being, instead of having faith of him being with us, fear sets in. And when fear sets in, then we really got trouble then. Just because it's trouble don't mean that you're in trouble until you start fearing the trouble. Then you got trouble. He said, you know, people are scared to death of the world going to pieces. They ought to be. Some of them ought to be. We're right there at the time this world going to go to pieces. It's prophesied in the Bible. It's all written right here. It's going to burn with fire. But I'm not scared of the world going to pieces. There's going to be a 1,000-year millennium reign. God won't defeat his own purpose. The one thing I pray, Lord, am I right when you come? He said, that's the only worry I have. Amen. How have I pleased you, Lord? See, don't fear what men's doing. Fear God. Don't fear him that can destroy the body, but he that can destroy both body and soul in hell. In other words, fear the Lord, not the devil. The devil can only do something to you temporarily, but God is the judge of all. But fear just tries to set in. Fear comes. Trouble comes. Worry's always there. But don't forget who's in your boat. The master's in the boat. And he's the master of the wind. Hey, listen, it's more than a song we sing. I know the master of the wind. What's a beautiful song? But it's more than a song. Amen. It's all wonderful to know the master of the wind till the wind comes. And then you get all worried about, well, how am I going to overcome all this stuff? Don't forget, he's still the master. Your circumstances has not changed who he is. Your problems and situations around you does not change who God is. Amen. Shouldn't anything really bother us? Nothing should worry us. We are his. We are his. If it ain't, well, we're false accusers. We've been testifying something ain't so, but I believe it. I believe that now we are sons of God. Not we will be. Right now we are. We're seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You've been seeing it up on the screen. I've mentioned it before about that dorky little sheep walking with Jesus and that lion and that wolf over there growling and carrying on. Amen. I was just reading about Pilgrim's Progress. And the man who wrote it, what was his name? I lost it. Bunyan? John Bunyan. And here he is. He writes about Christian. And he hears about these two lions that was in the path. And everybody was so afraid and so worried about these two lions. And the closer he's getting, the more fear he's getting because he's hearing the roar and he's hearing the more, getting more intense. And listen, really, there's nothing worse than a roar of a lion as far as sitting fear. I mean, it shuts the whole jungle up. We heard about, you know that, right? And so he hears these roars. But as he gets closer, he realizes these lions are chained. And the only thing that can actually get to him is the roar. Hallelujah. Ain't that the way it is sometimes? You realize when you were so worried about things and so worried about things, if you'll just realize that lion is chained. He can only go so far. He can only do so much. The only thing that can get to you is the roar. We are sons of God. Not we will be. Listen, I'm a son of God if I'm sick. Does not change who I am. I'm a son of God if I'm down in the valley of the shadow of death. Does not change who I am. You say, well, you're a son, but you don't have any power. We may not have power, but we got authority. Amen. I may not have one bit of power, but I got authority. Amen. Just like that policeman out there in Minden, he may not have power to physically stop an engine going down the road or a car or reach out there with his hand and stop it, but he's got authority to stop it. Amen. He turns on those lights, I guarantee you. His brakes will start to squeak. Amen. You let him stand out there and hold his hand up and blow that whistle. Watch the brake slides. He hasn't got 1 ounce of power, but he's got authority. And so is a man or a woman that's been anointed by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You might not be able to read your name in box car size letters. I have any education at all, but you got authority. And that authority can look at that devil in the eye and say, stop. And Satan's wheels will begin to slide and come to a halt. In my name, they shall cast out devils. He may not have a DDD or a PhD, but he that knows Jesus knows what's been given to him and where he stands. Amen. They should have known by watching what this man did. The Messiah, he knew all things. He knew this trouble was coming. He knew the boat was about to get rocked. So did he also know your boat is about to get rocked. Well, Brother Timothy, I wish I could just have me a nice, cool breeze on the ocean, you know. Yeah, that'd be nice. But that ain't the fairy tale we're living in. This ain't no fairy tale. This is real. A lot of battles. Listen, you're either in a trial or you just got out of a trial and you're about to go into another trial. Brother Tim, but trials doesn't change who you are. It doesn't change who God is. Man, I wish I had the strength to preach. He knows all things. He knows his trouble. They should have known that he understood that the storm was coming. And he knew it was going to happen. And was only coming to test their faith. He said, maybe the revival was led up to see what we'll do about it. Maybe sickness has struck you to see what you'll do about it. Nothing just happens without God knowing about it. He knows it. He knew the end. He knows the end from the beginning. All these things happen because it's a test of faith. How are we going to get there? On all these others had to go by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. We're not going to get there just by grace. It's going to be by faith. There's going to be somebody that nobody else believes. They still believe. When nobody else still stands, they're still standing. When everybody else pulls away, they're still there. Why? By faith. That's what he said, how the world would be. He said in Luke chapter 21 and verse 25, said there would be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations were perplexities and seas and the waves roaring. Man, if this world ain't roaring right now, I don't know what roaring is. It's roaring. Every day is a write-up about nuclear destruction. Every day. I know there was a Cuban missile crisis and there was this, that, and there's always been trouble. But there's a time of trouble coming that's never been seen before. This world is getting ready to fall off into the tribulation. So it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. So we see men's hearts are failing them for fear. And for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Amen. When we see all these shakings going on, these roarings going on, it ought to do nothing but up, make us look up. Because any day now, the dead in Christ is going to rise. Any day now, we're going to go home to be with Jesus. Any day now, we're going to leave this old stinking rotten world and go to a place we've never dreamed of before. Eyes can't imagine. Our hearts can't even think good enough. Amen. To imagine the glory that is going to be revealed in us. So don't fear. Quote, fear is of the devil. Everything Jesus would say, fear not, constantly, fear not. An angel, when an angel would come, what was his salutation? Fear not, be not afraid. See, God doesn't want you to fear, he wants you to believe. Every one of you believe. Amen. One accord, every one. You know, I just done a quick study on the times mentioned in fear. And then of course, there's different translations. So there's all, if you find other translations, maybe it's mentioned more. But just the KJV, excuse me, you can see fear not is mentioned 63 times. Be not afraid is 26 times. Be careful for nothing one time. I will not fear 3 times. Whom shall I fear? 1 time. I shall not be afraid 2 times. Be not dismayed 4 times. Be of good courage 16 times. Be strong 32 times. So God over and over and over and over reiterating. So there's plenty of strength together when you are fearful. There's plenty somewhere you can go to that when you are afraid, you can go to the Word of God and say, God, I'm fearing a little bit. Go to the Word. I read these to the young people because men's hearts are failing for fear. They got fears, phobias listed from A to Z. So for them to be listed, they actually have to be diagnosed fears, medically diagnosed. So then, of course, I got to clicking on them. Good Lord. Every one of them's got their own way to overcome them. And then most of us by a therapist or psychology or medicine. I don't want none of that. There's one way to overcome A to Z. So I'll just read them to you because I like to call these fears out. Fear of bathing. Some boy need to deal with that one. Fear of darkness, fear of heights, fear of flying, fear of pain, fear of open spaces, fear of needles, fear of riding in a car, fear of men, fear of air. How in the world are you going to live being afraid of air? Fear of choking, fear of anger, fear of flowers. I asked the young people up there in Oklahoma, I said, what kind of pansy you got to be afraid of a flower? Can you imagine getting up and saying, oh no, there's a rose? I'm sorry, I can't equate that. I don't have that fear. Fear of people, fear of being touched, fear of peanut butter. Fear of spiders, fear of numbers, fear of thunder, fear of outer space, fear of disorder, fear of imperfection, fear of failure, fear of human-like figures, fear of being alone. That's only A. Fear of bacteria, fear of gravity. Fear of stairs, fear of amphibians, fear of pins and needles, fear of books, fear of plants. Fear of ugliness, fear of being ridiculed, fear of mirrors, fear of snow, fear of spending money. Some people conquer that fear. Fear of colors, fear of clocks, fear of time, fear of food, fear of confined spaces, fear of climbing, fear of clowns, fear of computers, fear of dogs. Fear of demons, fear of making decisions, fear of trees, fear of dentists, fear of houses, fear of accidents, fear of homes, fear of cats, fear of vomiting, fear of insects, fear of teenagers, fear of horses, fear of marriages, fear of knees. Amen. Fear of speaking in public. Fear of touch, fear of the sun, fear of blood, fear of reptiles, fear of long words. You know what's a paradox is this is the longest fear of word there is. That's wild to me. I'll try to pronounce it. Hippopotomostrosis equipdaliophobia. That's the fear of a long word. Fear of water, fear of illness, fear of doctors, fear of insects, fear of rooms, fear of buttons, fear of the color white, fear of tornadoes, fear of childbirth, fear of cooking, fear of large things, fear of the color black, fear of small things. Fear of dirt, fear of death, fear of the night, fear of being without your mobile phone. Fear of hospitals, fear of the dark. Fear of gaining weight, fear of the figure eight, fear of rain, fear of snakes, fear of birds, fear of smells, fear of shellfish, fear of paper, fear of disease, fear of children, fear of kissing, fear of love, fear of fear. Do you see what the devil is trying to do to people? They can't do normal activities without being afraid. And if you're not careful, he'll put you in a little box and you'll be afraid to be in your box. I mean, Jesus said their hearts are failing for fear. We're living at a time now that heart trouble is one of the leading killers. I'm only to have maybe halfway through. Fear of feet. Fear of the color purple. Fear of ferns. Fear of fire. Fear of Halloween. Fear of school. Fear of being stared at. Fear of the moon. Fear of social evaluation. Fear of speed. Fear of technology. Fear of the ocean. Fear of hair. Fear of thunder. Fear of needles and injections. Man, that one's a bunch. Fear of holes. Fear of germs. Fear of witches. Fear of strangers. Fear of animals. And the last one listed is fear of vacuum cleaners. But the devil wants us to get so consumed in fear. Why? So you won't believe. Because fear actually hinders belief. It's actually unbelief. It actually is unbelief in what God can do for your situation. And you begin to worry and you begin to fret and you begin to build bridges. And before you know it, you got nervous problems and a nervous stomach and you can't sleep at night. Why? Because of fear. So if you're going to get over fear, where are you going to go to? To the Word of God. I use this in Oklahoma, so I don't know where she's at. Katie, forgive me. There she is. We was in Paris. Sister Katie, I believe she's gotten deliverance of it. But she, as a young girl, and Brother Branham, you know, it's a very, very serious thing because Brother Branham actually in discernment, seen this, had this woman that was all nervous and tore up. He said, what your problem is, you got scared as a little girl by a dog. And fear struck her. Generally, when people's got real issues like that, real phobias, because somewhere back there somewhere, something happened. And Katie had that as a little girl with a rat one time and scared her to death. And I ain't going to go in that story, but we was in Paris and with our family and we went to the Eiffel Tower and we went up on top and come down. And me and Sister Ruth and the sister that was guiding us come down the elevator. The kids wanted to stop at the little gift store, and so they did. So we're sitting there, and by that we'd got there last minute, one of the last ones to be able to go up, and it closed. And so we're coming down after closing and we get down to the bottom. And before, there'd been piles of people everywhere. And we get down to the bottom, there's nobody but a few guards, and so we just sit on the bench waiting for the kids. Next thing I hear, I thought, what is that? I got to looking, there's rats running all over this place. I probably counted 10 at least, just running out there gathering the food that had been dropped and things. And I ain't talking about no little rats, I'm talking about some good-sized ones. And I thought, oh boy, if Katie sees these, this is not going to be good. Because we're a long ways from the Airbnb, And I thought, man, I don't know. And all of a sudden I hear some hollering. I look up and the kids are running down the stairs, you know. And here they come and they get down to the bottom. I hear this blood-curdling scream. Rat done ran across the front of Katie. Listen, I had to pray her the rest of the way home. With my arm around her, praying for her to get her back to the Airbnb. And I'm trying to tell her, Katie, that you are bigger than that rat. That rat won't hurt you. That rat will run from you. You need to realize who you really are. And I got to thinking about that when I was telling that story up there in Oklahoma. You know, the devil is the biggest rat I know of. And he'll run across our path and we'll scream and carry on. And we got to pray our way through. Listen, you got to realize who you really are. You're not some beaten down nobody. You're a child of God that was chosen to be perfect before the foundation of the world. And the devil wants to run in front of you. That's just a perfect time to stomp him. To put your foot over him and say, devil, I'm not going to cower down to you no more. I'm a child of God. I can rise up above these things. Quit shrinking back in fear. And realize who you are. Just like that man Brother Branham talks about when that devil started going boo and he started jumping back. Every time you jump back, you get smaller. Your faith gets smaller. Everything about you gets, you just get all withered up inside of yourself. You can't fight, but he said all of it once, he came back to something and he hit the Word of God. And he grabbed a hold of it and something went over him and he hollered, "Boo, back." And when he did, the devil got smaller and he got bigger. It's time some of you start using faith on the word of God over your fear. Because I'm here to tell you there's a whole lot more. We listen to a whole lot of fears, but there's a whole lot more faith than there is fear. There's a whole lot more peace than there is anxiety. There's a whole lot more joy than there is depression. Deuteronomy 3, verse 18 said, "I commanded you at that time, saying, the Lord your God have given you this land to possess it. And you shall pass over armed before your brethren, the children of Israel, all that are meet for war. But your wives and your little ones, your cattle, and for I know that you have much cattle, shall abide in your cities, which I've given you unto the Lord, has given you rest unto your brethren, as well as unto you and unto them, and until they also possess the land which the Lord your God has given them beyond Jordan. Then you shall return every man to his possession, which I've given you." And I commanded Joshua at that time, saying, "That eyes have seen all that the Lord your God has done to these two kings. So shall the Lord do to all the kingdoms whether thou passest. Ye shall not fear them, for the Lord your God shall fight for you." Amen. Hallelujah. What is he telling him? "I've done it for against two of them, and the rest of them's going to be the same way." Hallelujah. If he's given you one victory, he can give you another victory. If he's given you victory over things of sin and pornography, well, surely he can give you victory over that hell-bound spirit called fear. The Lord will fight for you. Second, in Deuteronomy 31 and 6, "Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he is the one that goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you." Psalms 34, 4 said, "I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all my fears." Choosing faith over fear is a decision you must make. It's seeking the Lord, knowing he hears, and trusting him, knowing he will deliver. Sometimes we forget he helps. We forget he's the deliverer. We're in the middle of our deal, trying to wrestle it all out, trying to save ourselves. And all along, God is waiting and ready to hear our cry. Psalms 56 and verse 3 says, "Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you." Choosing faith is just choosing to trust God no matter what. It's not that everything will be perfect and everything's going to be a bed of roses and everything's going to work out just great. But in the moment of fear, we should know by now where to turn to. It's not to Google, it's not to a three-step process or book or even a good friend. It's turned to Jesus. It's knowing that when we're afraid, to turn to Jesus, because he's the one who can calm our anxious hearts. We read in Psalm chapter 23 and verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Sometimes we face the hardest, the darkest, the scariest of all trials. It might look like sudden tragedy or maybe a diagnosis we wasn't expecting or some family crisis we didn't see coming. But even in the darkest of times, God is still able to guard you and to carry you through. Amen. When we feel like God is absent or like he doesn't want, seem to care, we can rest in the faith and the rest in faith in the truth of the word that even then, even in the dark, even in the shadow of death, God is there. He's near, ready for you to reach out and grab his hand. He's not so far you can't reach there. He's not so far from you. It may seem that way, but that doesn't mean it's so. He's as close as your faith will declare him. Isaiah 41 and verse 10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. God's hand is a beautiful thing in Scripture because it's speaking of strength. So when we talk about, you know, having faith in God and God's hand in each situation, there's an instruction. The Scripture's talking about that, and there's an instruction given. When you see his hand, don't fear. It's easy to say, but many times difficult to live, fear not. But over and over, God's word says, fear not. The question we might have is, how do we fear not when everything around us is calling for questions and calling for fear? The answer is found in focusing our hearts, not on what we see, but upon the word of God and his promises. That there is more for us than there is against us. God is with us. God gives strength. God gives help. God holds us. God's hand is not clenched closed, seeing if we're going to survive. His hand is stretched out and is actually picking you up and holding you up and making sure you're going to make it. He's not standing back. I ain't helping this time. Nope. No, his hand is there under you and it's guiding you. Why? He wants to make sure you're going to make it. Because he knows if his hand wasn't there, you wouldn't make it. But he'll hold you in the middle of your storm, in the middle of your trial, in the middle of your struggle. That hand is there propping you up. Isaiah 41:13 says, for I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. Just like a child needs help by a hand across the street, God reaches down his hand to help us cross the most difficult paths of our lives. Not only that, did you hear what the scripture says? For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand. He's saying, give me your hand. And while you're crossing that road, he's saying, fear not. I'm helping you. You're going to make it. You're going to make it through this valley. You're going to make it through this struggle. You're going to make it through this difficulty because I got you. He isn't silent. His lips ain't closed. Never giving advice, never giving you wisdom, never. But he gives a command, fear not. Then that fear not is followed by one of the most beautiful promises. I will help you. I mean, we know what it's like when somebody says, I'll help you. Struggling, getting something done, struggling, trying to make ends meet, whatever. I'll help you. Well, what is it when God says, I'll help you. I got you. I got this. I'll take care of it. Zephaniah 3:17 says, the Lord your God is in your midst, and he's a victorious warrior. He will exult over you with joy. He will be quiet in his love. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. Psalms 91:1 says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High shall rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. He will cover you with his feathers. Under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield. You will not fear the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall by your side and 10,000 by your right hand, but it will not come near you, for he has commanded his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways, because he loves me, saith the Lord. I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him, and I'll be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. We can think about St. Paul on the shipwreck. What was he told? He was told by the angel everything was going to be well. So he just took him at his word. He was told he was going to go to Rome, so he just took him at his word. Gets there building a fire, gathering a bit of wood to try to get warm, and the snake bites him. He don't get all fearful and afraid. He'd done been told where he was going. Hello, somebody. And so what do? He just shook him off in the fire. That's the faith we need. That's the faith we got to have. Amen. We've been told where we're going. We're going in a rapture. So the snake may try to bite us along the way. Just shake him off in the fire. Say, devil, you ain't got no hold on my life. You ain't got no say over what I am or what I do. I'm not even worried about you or your venom. Take yourself and go back to hell where you came from. That's how a believer shakes the devil off in the fire. Go back to hell where you came from. Musicians can come. Sister, by the grace of God, he can make it leave you now. You've been wanting a time of relief. He'll do it if you believe. Will you believe? The lady says, yes, I have prayer. She said, now look, you never was any closer in your life than you are now to believing. So the audience will know your friend. Where you're standing now, a real humble, sweet feeling is around you. Is that right? That's right. Not your brother, but something supernatural. Is that right? Raise your hand. See? It's the angel of the Lord. See, I'm living now in another dimension. It's a spirit world, but I want to pray for you while this anointing is on me. Now, the very thing that knows your life, I see it go way back to a little girl. And I see you as a little girl. You're running from something. It was something chasing you. It was a dog. It seemed like you came from school or something way long ago, scared you, and you've been nervous like all your life since. Is that right? Yes. All right. Now, more I talk to you, the more the vision will show. But he said, but for the sake of these others, let's pray. Dear God, author of life, Lord Jesus, who will judge us all at your coming, knowing that we're eternity-bound people, have to meet you someday, stand in your presence, knowing right now in this platform is the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, confirming every word. Father, thou art so lovely because you make yourself manifest to those. Those things are true. You speak of the truth. And the lady stands here, which is tormented by an evil spirit that's trying to get her to commit suicide and do other things wrong, all the way from being scared by a dog. But thou art here. Thou art here to remove it. And I pray according to thy word. You ask the Father in my name, anything in my name, and I will do it. And I know your words are true. So Satan, you evil one that's tormented our sister, I adjure you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come out of the woman. That's the way. Look, something's happened to you. You're weeping. You don't feel like you did. You feel happy now. Now go home, rejoice. It's over with. He said, brother, coming with you comes a black spirit. It's death. It's a devil. It's cancer. There's a lady sitting there also with cancer in the pelvis bone. That's right. Your name is Miss Roy Zeke, something like that. Isn't that right? Wave your hand. That's right. Now the devil's pulling it between you, but it's off both of you now. The light now between you. Go believe with all your heart. Praise be to God. Satan lost that battle. You know how the devil calls one another. What are they doing? The reason they're calling is to try to get the other to disbelieve, to worry, to fear. Amen. But keep praying. It's the devil's fighting. Wrong, fighting right. Right, fighting wrong. Quit being skeptic. Just believe. Be expecting. You're next. Hallelujah. Oh my. So I want to ask you something. You be honest with me. When I spoke cancer and death, something strange happened. You had a funny feeling like come over. Is that right? Wave your hand. You've been under the shadow of death. That dark streak called cancer, that's a devil. It's a devil. It's a killer and it's a tormentor. It's on this man and on that woman. He was calling for help trying to get this man to disbelieve it. But the Holy Spirit beat him there. Oh, God. and it threw faith on the woman. Oh God, may the Holy Spirit beat death here. May it beat unbelief here and throw faith on people to believe. She touched something. Listen, there was a time that it might have been right to fear. Been okay to fear. There was a time when it might have been, you had a right to fear cancer. You had a right to fear sickness. You had a right to fear Satan and his tactics. But that time for fear is over. For we have received a prophet that didn't restore us to the fear of the fathers, but it restored us to the faith of the fathers. And it's a faith that is greater than any fear. A faith that supersedes every fear the enemy can come up with. And because our faith is not in the failing words of a mortal man. Our faith is in the never failing word of Almighty God. And we have a message that's been sent from the throne of God with an angel that says, fear not. For the never failing presence of Almighty God is with you wherever you shall go. The time for fear is over. We should be a people restored to faith, to believe, no matter what happens around us, no matter the circumstances, no matter the situation, no matter the problem, no matter if it's a good day, bad day, valleys or mountains, sunshine and roses or clouds and dust, matters not. What matters is He's with me. What matters is He's got me by the hand. And He's speaking words to me that says, you don't have to fear that. Don't fear that. I got you. I'm going to take you to the other side. Let's bow our hearts. Let me say tonight, Lord, let faith arise in my heart, God. Let my faith paralyze my fears. Overcome them. Father, bless your people, Lord, I pray. Bless each heart, each life, Lord. Lord, I just weak in body, but Lord, I still want to scream it out. Don't fear. Don't fear what the devil can do. Fear God. Have reverence for Him. Have reverence for His word. Sincerity. Truth. Bless each hand that was lifted, Lord, we pray. Let faith arise, Lord, in every heart. Let fear be cast down below us, Lord. Somebody feels like they got bit. Lord, may they have faith enough to just shake that snake back off into hell. Grant it, Father, I pray. We love you with all of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord is my shepherd. He goes before me. Defender behind me, I won't fear.
Amen. Can you say that tonight?
I'm filled with anointing, my cup's overflowing. No weapon can harm me.
Oh, say it again.
Say, oh, I won't fear. Oh, hallelujah. I am not alone. grace guides me to mountains and valleys. His joy is refreshing. Oh, restore my soul. Mercy and goodness, they give me assurance. Oh, that I'll see His glory. I'll see Him face to face. Oh, hallelujah, I am not alone. Yes, He's my comfort.
All things are possible.
peace like a river, in love like a fountain, the wind of your spirit, they are blowing everywhere. Oh, joy. Because